This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
All right, let's get to our polls. I have a couple to wrap up for you before we get to today's regarding NIL. It is on X at 1080 The Fan. Now, Monday, we did not wrap up our Monday poll because we were so excited with hot sports talk yesterday.
There was a lot happening. There was a lot.
That we didn't get this in. But Monday's poll question was, whose play is most surprising? Sam Darnold running away with that at 56%, followed by Malik Willis at 16%, Andy Dalton 15%, and Justin Fields 13%.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, the Vikings in general, just what they're doing. Don't know if it's sustainable long term, but what they're doing, it's the best coach team right now in the NFL.
So what do you think, if anything, happens to J.J. McCarthy moving forward? Nothing?
Nothing. I mean, look.
He comes back next year he's supposed to be the guy?
Yeah, and Darnold, I think, is just on a one-year deal. So, I mean, and look, I've gone back and I've taken a look at what Minnesota's doing, and this is not a slight on Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold is doing what they're asking him to do. They're putting him in such good spots. But when you go back and watch him on the All-22, and you go back and watch the condensed film, Sam Darnold is still trying to do some Sam Darnold things. Like, he's trying to turn the ball over. They've put it on the ground a bunch. It just hasn't come back to bite him in the ass. And they've been so efficient in the run game, and he's doing exactly what they want. But what you're seeing out of Sam Darnold right now is more of, I hate to do this, but like, you know the crap that Brock Purdy gets where they say, you know, system quarterback. Sam Darnold is playing great, better than he's ever played, but nothing that you're watching Sam Darnold do is like next level franchise quarterback stuff. And so I think if you're Minnesota, you drafted JJ McCarthy to be the future. I think depending on what Sam Darnold wants, like if I could get Sam Darnold at like a Geno Smith, Baker Mayfield contract, I'd ink that for 2 or 3 years and then see what I have in JJ McCarthy. But if Sam Darnold wants to hit the open market, and we'll see how the rest of the season goes, but if he's going to want Daniel Jones money, you let him walk and you go with JJ McCarthy, because I think right now you could put like Andy Dalton. If you put Andy Dalton right now in what Minnesota's doing, I think you'd have very similar results. It's just that we haven't seen Sam Darnold in this situation, and you're seeing a pretty talented guy playing in the confines of a system with everything around him, and it looks great, but it's not Sam Darnold that's making this thing go.
All right, that's Monday. Yesterday, now a bit of a shocker here, JC Babes. Check this out. What is the biggest local story to you? Pac-12 Survival won this.
Really?
32%.
Did they? Oh, okay.
Over the Blazers to KATU and Blazer Vision, that's 27%. Portland Diamond Project buying Zedell Yards, 25%. And WNBA to Portland, 16%.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess. But you said surprising. Like, the Pac-12 Survival.
No, I didn't say surprising. I said, what is the biggest story to you?
Okay. Well, I mean, the Pac-12, I mean, it survived, but it didn't, because it's...
I mean, it did.
It's just the Mount... I don't know. It's just
well,
the Mountain...
It's the Pac-12.
It's
Division I football.
It's the Mountain West.
It's Division I football!
So it's got Oregon State, brother. In Washington State.
Yeah,
so.
I don't know. I mean,
That surprises me. I thought maybe the Blazers TV deal would be the biggest local story to people, but it's not.
Football moves the needle, and I get it. At least now with Oregon State, Washington State, I guess this isn't true, but like... The uncertainty is gone. You know where you're at, and you can plot a path forward. But you can't really do that because you don't know UNLV, or if it's not UNLV, is, you know, it's, but at least you know going forward, how about that, that you will be the flag bearer of your conference. How about that?
How about that?
And where that leads to, we'll wait and see. Hey, the Beavs and my Cougs will lock horns in a couple years. Got a little home and home.
Yeah. According to the who's that bro that's on Twitter that everyone hates on, but he just continues to break realignment.
Oh, that news. MH, the West Virginia guy.
Yeah.
He
says UNLV to the Pac-12 is the holdup is money.
Okay.
Their athletic department is broke and over $20 million in debt with no means to raise additional funds beyond the debt payments. Utah State took the last life raft. Mm-hmm. The Pac was offering, UNLV is trying to get the Pac-2 to revert to the original deal that they previously declined.
Yeah.
That's what he's reporting. Yeah.
So they want the money. And by the way, if the Pac-12 gets out of any of the penalties and they can recoup some of that money, then maybe they've got a little more to throw at UNLV. By the way, I saw a pretty interesting thread about that lawsuit. And, you know, I won't go into like a, and again, I'm not a lawyer, but there were actually lawyers that looked at it. And, you know, there was some interesting insights there. And you pointed this out, like the Pac-12 wouldn't try this if they didn't think there was a way. And
it's antitrust. They're claiming antitrust.
Antitrust.
Which gives people tired head. But
exactly.
Like, it basically means that the Pac-12 was denied existence.
Yes.
Basically, the Mountain West was trying to rub them out.
So there may be some grounds to get some money back, and if you can, maybe then you can go at UNLV. And but it also goes to show you the state of some of these programs, like the Mountain West TV deal is like $3 to $4 million a year. UNLV has no money. I mean, my God, they can't even pay their quarterback $100,000. So, like, I just think when you talk about some of these Mountain West schools, you are literally talking about just bare bones budgets. So, like, exit fees and all that, yeah, UNLV doesn't have any of that. So, we'll see what happens.
So, the other UNLV story today that's grabbed the headlines is the subject of today's poll question, which is up there on X at 1080 The Fan. Pick a side. Is NIL destroying college football?
Oh, for God's sakes.
Absolutely no question, or nah. College football is better than ever.
Well, college football is great. It will continue to be great. But I have no sympathy, and I mean zero, for the NCAA because you created this. You had your head up your own ass for decades and refused to accept that people weren't going to sit there and let you continue to get free labor off of them. But Buck, do you have the clip I sent you?
I'm putting it in right now. You will have it in 30 seconds.
So this is from a year ago. So and I Charlie Barker or Charlie Baker, who's the new president of the NCAA, I actually think has been pretty good on a lot of these issues. He understands that things are changing, and I think he's trying to change with the times. But they have fought the idea of having contracts with kids that would prevent this. They have fought it for decades, and they've had these athletes over a barrel, and they have restricted them. And finally, they're reaping what they sowed. So anyone, and today that this poor UNLV quarterback kid is just getting raked over the coals. And I would ask anyone, and I mean anyone, if you agreed to go do something, whatever it is, you agreed to mow lawns, you agreed to go work for someone selling cars, you agreed to go play or, you know, pick up hoops on someone's team or a hood to coast, and I told you that I was going to pay you $100,000 to go do that, and then you got there and started doing the job, and then eventually I just said, yeah, I never said that, and I'm not giving you any money. How many people would continue to work for that company? No one. And yet we're calling this kid a bitch and a quitter, and people are dragging him over the coals. This is the NCAA's own doing.
So here's what happened. Quarterback Matt Sluka, who is the starting quarterback at UNLV, beat Kansas.
Yeah.
They're ranked.
They're off to their best start.
Yeah.
Like ever.
3-0. And he's not great.
No.
But he's good with his legs, yeah. and they're 3-0.
He transferred from Holy Cross.
So he says an assistant verbaled $100,000 to him.
Mm-hmm.
The collective at UNLV says it's the first we've heard of this. There was no formal offer made to him. The head coach says, hey, that all has to go through me, and that one didn't. And the school released a statement that says that they, because he has an agent.
Yeah.
And they are viewing his agent's demands as threats and a violation of the NIL pay-for-play rules and a violation of Nevada law. So this is getting ugly.
I would also like to point out that because of the Tennessee situation and the soon-to-be House settlement, that there is no penalty for any of this. So good luck with that.
There's also a running back by the name of Michael Allen, who has just over 100 yards rushing so far for UNLV.
Yep.
And he just announced today that he is also leaving.
Yeah.
Transferring, boom, right after the 3-0 start.
Well, the players came out and said that, you know, everyone was like, why don't we put these things in contracts? And no one at the NCAA wanted to listen to this. And this was like a year ago that Charlie Baker had this when someone pressed him on the idea that we need to have some sort of contract here so it's not the wild, wild west.
A lot of people are breaking the rules. But my question then is, for those athletes that take that leap of faith into the portal or to a particular school without any guarantee on paper, wouldn't being able to have inducements and sign a contract ahead of time provide them with the consumer protections to at least go after a school legally if they renege on a promise?
Well, we have early signing, and we do have signing days.
In terms of NIL deals, though?
Well, I think the NIL deal is set up the way it probably should be, which is make the decision about the school that's the best school for you based on the academic opportunities and the athletic opportunities, and then figure out the other part.
In reality, that's...
Now, if we could ever...
In reality, that's... So, not really what's happening, as you said right now, right? Is why ignore the reality of how this is working right now in hopes
of
it being an ideal?
In fact, we have all kinds of cases that we've settled through negotiated resolutions and others that are pending. Yeah. I think the most important thing here is let's deal with some of the issues around accountability and transparency and consumer protections first. But if we then want to have a conversation about other stuff, about how this should all work, especially if we get to the point where we give schools the ability to do more in this space, I'm all in on that. But I think to just say right now that inducements are working really well, and it's just like what you or I get if we're out looking for a job, is just a misrepresentation of reality.
I don't mean to say they're working well. I guess the question is, would having a contract ahead of time before you have to commit to a school help them work better and actually help protect athletes from people reneging on promises?
I don't know.
See, this is my whole thing. All of this could have been stopped.
Boys
this
ass.
Could have been stopped the moment NIL popped up. And yet, and this is, by the way, what the judge in the House settlement said. This is what the judge in the Tennessee stay said, that the NCAA continues, even after getting your ass kicked in court time and time again, even having to give on NIL and all the transfer stuff. What did the NCAA continue to do? No, we can't have contracts. They're still holding on to their pathetic, like amateurism sort of thing. And this is what it's created. I mean, the idea that you have NIL, and we've already seen it with high school kids, we've seen it with the transfer portal, and now we've seen it with a kid who gets to campus and is like, this isn't what I was told.
Didn't that happen with Damian Martinez?
Yes.
Too,
yes.
At Oregon State?
And it happened with Rashada. It's happened multiple times where kids are like, hey, this isn't what I was told.
Yeah, that's why Rashada ended up at ASU and not Florida.
Yeah. And what happens every time is the collective in the school says, well, the first I've heard of it. So, and the kid's like, well, this is what I was told. So unless you believe that all these kids are just lying out of their ass, right? In a shocking development, things are being promised, not delivered. And kids are like, this isn't okay. But because of the NCAA's own stubbornness, they refuse to allow these things to happen where you can actually put a pen to paper and say, this is what we're offering you. And when you go here, this is what we're going to give you. So until that changes, this is what's going to happen. This is maybe the first of these in season, but it's not going to be the last. And I don't have any sympathy for teams or the NCAA because they are reaping what they sowed. And yet I think the vast majority of people are going to blame kids. They're going to call them quitters. They're going to drag them on Twitter. And I just don't know anyone that would show up for a job, and that's what this is, a job, and be told you are going to get paid this. And then when you get there, they're like, yeah, we're not going to do that.
The company's doing really well, but we're not paying you.
And so the problem here is that the coach, it sounds like the coach willy-nilly, like the coordinator, right? The offensive coordinator, willy-nilly said, hey, $100,000. Is that the problem here? Because it sounds like UNLV is saying, hey, whoa, that wasn't on our books.
Yeah, who knows?
So
then you wonder whether the coach knew the rules, whether he was just trying to bait the kid knowing that that wasn't there and that would hopefully get him on the line. I mean,
and that's where we just need some regulation. But it sounds to me like the NCAA from listening to Baker there, they're going to make the courts mandate it.
Yes.
Like, they're just, they're not going to stick the knife into their own chest. It's not going to happen.
Anyone that says that NIL and transfer portal is killing college football, then you can blame the schools and you can blame the NCAA. Well, because,
isn't this temporary though?
Well, as the house settlement, you know, yeah, gets finished,
I mean,
it's, and
all that, get fixed.
We're moving into a new era.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's going to get fixed.
And
it's
yet just... they're still trying to hold on to the last scraps of, oh no, he sat up there with a clear face. And had the nerve to be like, well, I think what you should do is pick a school for academics. And then once you get there and you decide that this is the degree you want, then and only then can you talk about NIL. Oh, my God. And that's a guy that I have said multiple times, I think, is starting to get it. And I think is pretty good for the NCAA as far as they're trying to lead it into this new era. And then I see something like that, and I just want to just want to slap him.
All right. Pick a side. Is NIL destroying college football? Yes or no? Vote on X at 1080 The Fan. And please, the only thing we ask here, vote hard. We'll continue this conversation next and get into our college football cookie crumble. First look at Alabama, Georgia. Coming up, here's Buckley.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
All right, we're talking NIL here. So far on the poll question, which is pick a side, is NIL destroying college football? 61% say absolutely, and 39% say nah. But look, this is temporary. Like, that's the thing about this. Yeah. It's just, they're going to get guidelines. Mm-hmm. They will get rules and safeguards. But the NCAA is clearly not going to do it on their own.
No.
So that's really just it. We have to, the courts, it has to work out through the courts.
But it's amazing to me that we continue to blame athletes for wanting compensation.
Well, don't you think that people, and the people that do that, is because it's not everyone that blames athletes. It's just people that do that are the ones that don't like the direction this is going. Those are the people that think this is ruining college football. You know, so it's easy to point the finger at the athlete.
But it's been that way forever. It's the whole, shut up, take the scholarship, and be happy. And now it's, well, shut up and take the scholarship, and you get your NIL, and what does it matter? You're already there, what does it matter? And it's just... it's the only walk of life. It's the only billion-dollar business that's run like this, and yet we somehow still blame the workers. And I don't know. Jay Billis has been on this. I've been on this for years, and it just today that UNLV kid, just unless that kid is just absolutely full of crap and is lying through his teeth, that kid got screwed over, and it ain't his fault. You know, people like, he quit on his team. No. He was told that he was getting paid $100,000 to go play. That was going to be his job. And then they said, we're not going to pay you. That's not on that kid. That's on that school.
You know, when this all gets straightened out, and it will, mm-hmm. I feel like UNLV, of all schools, has like the most upside.
Well, they don't, because they have no boosters. They have no...
Well, but I'm saying that just all the money there. Like, in other words, the boost... you don't really need boosters if you're going to get private equity. I mean, that's basically what it's going to become.
Yeah.
And, you know, whoever that is, there's just, like, I feel like the casinos and UNLV in Vegas, they can't commingle and never have been able to because of the gambling aspect, right?
Yeah.
But that is all changing. There is so much money there. And UNLV, I don't know how big of a part of that community it is, but once this all gets above board and regulated... what's to stop all the money that's in Vegas from helping out UNLV? Because they hadn't in prior years. So I'm just saying...
they don't care.
They may not. I'm just saying, like, of all the schools that have upside when all of this gets figured out, mm-hmm. UNLV might have the most, short of anybody getting in bed with the Saudis, Oregon State.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it all comes down to, because having played there, played them and seen that program, there's just no one, there is no fan base, there's no booster culture, that school's broke, they just don't have anything. That's like the billionaire guy for Oregon State. If that guy just was interested in football, we'd be great. If Steve Wynn ever decides that he wants to be a UNLV booster,
no, he's out.
Exactly.
They canceled him.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, Vegas is basically becoming Sports Central.
Yeah.
And sports gambling is now all legal. So that, a lot of things have changed to allow UNLV to become something there. I don't know if it will. I'm not saying it will. Maybe they'll just continue to ignore UNLV. But I'm just, once the stuff gets regulated, I wonder if UNLV has a chance. Like, this is why I'm just thinking about it from the Pac-12's perspective. It's like, that could be a good buy low program.
I just don't believe. When's the last time we saw any sort of school like this elevate themselves? It's maybe Boise State, and they didn't.
But
even
it's
really...
a different landscape.
Yeah,
I mean, completely different set of circumstances. Yeah. Our college football cookie crumble is next. Let's look at Bama, Georgia.
Yeah,
and a few leftovers from the weekend that was in college football. We'll get to that next on The Fan.